I'm going to say that again. The power is still on it. If there was power on it that did anything, and there must have been power on it if you have a testimony, right? If you have a testimony, it means something has happened in your life. You were in a test. You came through the test victorious. You conquered something. You overcame something. That's the testimony of Jesus. And the power on that testimony that brought you the breakthrough is still on the testimony of Christ when you share it. Say amen.
Amen.
That's the power of testimony. He said, I'm your fellow servant and of your brethren who have the testimony of Jesus. Now, here's what everybody in this church needs to know tonight. We all have a story to tell. Look at me. You have a story to tell. And not, our stories are not the same. Look up here at me. Your story may differ than mine, but the testimony is not of your story, but it's of Jesus.
Amen.
It's the testimony of Jesus. The details of your story may differ, but the point of the story is the same. Details vary from person to person. Situations vary from person to person. But the main point of the story is not what you were going through, but who brought you through.
Amen.
Who brought you out?
Yes.
Who set your feet on the rock? Who lifted you out of the pit? The details are really not of importance. What is important is the power that came to change it.
Amen.
The only reason that the details need to be mentioned is because maybe somebody else is experiencing similar details. Maybe somebody else is experiencing similar heartache. Maybe somebody else is experiencing similar discouragement or frustration or hurt or pain or sickness or bondage. Maybe they are experiencing something similar in their family or in their marriage. So the details they can connect with, because at this point, maybe they can't connect with Christ. But they can understand the details of your story, and that's what begins to draw them. And then you share the testimony of Christ. And guess what that does? Releases the power to them so they can get victory too. Somebody say hallelujah. So you have a story to tell. Your story, it has to do with how God saved you. And God saves all of us in our own unique way, doesn't he? Not everybody in this place can say that they got saved in a jail cell. There's some here tonight that would say when they were 10 years old, God revealed themselves to him or her. And they chose Jesus at 10 years old. What a glorious testimony that is. There's others that would say that as they was going through the loss of a loved one, that they found Jesus, that's where he saved them. But your story also has to do with how God forgave you. How many of you know that we were all sinners? We were all jacked up. We were all messed up. And that's one thing we can all relate to, how messed up our lives can become. And maybe your life wasn't messed up in drugs, but it could have been messed up in another way. And so that's where the connection takes place. But the power comes when a person says, but it was Jesus. The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. It was Jesus who changed my life. It was Jesus who helped me love again. It was Jesus who helped me forget what was done to me. It was Jesus who helped me forgive the perpetrator. It was Jesus who helped me walk through it and be able to forgive the person, to not hold offense towards him. It was Jesus. It was Jesus, you know, who raised us. It was Jesus who cleansed us. How many of you remember feeling so dirty? It's so dirty from life, so ugly from the way that we treated people, so unworthy from the way that we hurt the people closest to us. But what happened when the love of God flooded our hearts? He cleansed us. He began to wash it away. He began to scrub the stains of sin out of our lives. And we didn't have to walk around with our heads held low. We didn't have to hide in the shadows of life. We could come into the light. We could be seen by people. We could once again walk with dignity. We could walk with a sense of value and worth because we've been cleansed by the blood of the Lamb. Glory to God. What a testimony. What a testimony to share with somebody who is feeling worthless, who is feeling inadequate. What about sharing with somebody the testimony of Jesus? Man, I felt those feelings. I know what it was to fail. I know what it was to make mistakes. But the blood of Jesus Christ has cleansed me from that unrighteousness. And today, I've not forgotten my past. It's part of me, but it's part of my testimony. Glory to God. Maybe God has healed you. Maybe God has delivered you. Maybe God has extended mercy to you.
Amen.
Maybe God showed you His love. Maybe God has been working through you. What a testimony to be able to share with somebody in the body of Christ who may feel like life has no meaning, who may feel like because they're older now that there's nothing good that can happen in their life, that there's just so much they can't do anymore. What about being able to share with somebody what God is currently doing through you to build the kingdom? What a testimony. Hallelujah. The testimony of Jesus in your life has the power to save other people.
Amen.
Listen, I want to say that. I'm going to show you verses on this. Your testimony of Christ, the testimony of Jesus in your life, what Jesus has done in your life, it has the power to save people. I'm going to say it again. The testimony of Jesus in your life has saving grace on it. The kind of grace that reached down into the mud and saved you and lifted you and pulled you out and washed you up and put you into the race again. Your testimony of Christ and what Christ has done in your life still has that power on it, and that's why it needs to be shared. There's other people that need to be lifted. There's other people that need to be forgiven. There's other people that need to be released, and your testimony can save them.
Oh,
Pastor, only Jesus can save. Well, you have a testimony of Jesus.
Amen.
You have His testimony. It's not you saving them. It's the faith that comes in His name. It's the faith that comes as His story is told. It's the faith that comes as that spirit of prophecy goes forth. Remember, faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the word of God. What is prophecy? It's declaring the oracles of God. It is speaking and declaring the word of God. And the testimony of Jesus is the word of God. Hallelujah. Why did the apostle say that we are a living epistle? Your life is a book in the Bible being written. Why? Because the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy.
Amen.
You have the test. That's powerful right there.
Yes, Lord. Yes.
We are a living epistle. The book of Acts is still being written today.
Yes.
Why? Because we have the testimony of Jesus.
Amen.
And the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Glory to God. The testimony of Jesus in your life has faith to inspire somebody to believe. The testimony of Jesus in your life has truth that can break through deception. The testimony of Jesus in your life has hope that can turn lives around. The testimony of Jesus in your life has ability to draw others to God. Let's look at some Bible verses. Acts chapter 2. Verses 14 and 15, I saw some things today that I had not seen before, that maybe I had a little bit of understanding about, but really not correct understanding. How many of you know you can have understanding about something, but not have the understanding about something? And, you know, in years gone by, I'd always thought that what Peter did in Acts chapter 2 was preach the gospel, and he really didn't preach the gospel. He gave a testimony. I want to say that to you again. He really did. You know, even in my Bible today, I noticed in this segment of Scripture, Acts chapter 2, it says Peter's sermon on the day of Pentecost. Peter really didn't preach a sermon. It wasn't a three-point sermon that Peter preached. It wasn't a five-point sermon that Peter preached. What Peter really did was give a testimony. He gave a testimony. And his testimony led to 3,000 people getting born again. Everybody say the power of a testimony. Let's kind of really look at this, because I don't want you to think that I'm stretching the scripture. Because we've probably all heard that Peter preached on the day of Pentecost. He didn't preach, He proclaimed, he prophesied. It wasn't a sermon that he was preaching. It was the testimony of Jesus that he was preaching. Look what happened here. So we know that in Acts chapter 2, the Bible says they were all together in one place. Suddenly what seemed to be a mighty rushing wind came and blowed through the whole house, and what appeared to be tongues of fire came and rested on each of them. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. From the upper room where they were having this prayer meeting, where this release of the Holy Spirit happened, how many of you know they experienced something?
Yes.
What is the definition of testimony? Proof, witness, evidence, right? They were witnesses to something. They had experienced something that nobody else on the street has experienced. Nobody else in the city experienced what they experienced in the upper room. So they come down out of the upper room, and they're just living out of the experience of the testimony of Jesus that they've had. The Spirit of God was poured out on them. Now that testimony of Jesus is flowing through them. They're speaking in other tongues. The Holy Ghost is moving on them, and crazy things are happening. But the first thing that the people do, the Bible says, they began to talk amongst themselves. What meaneth this? They were much perplexed. They could not figure out what was going on. They said, these guys must be drunk. The only explanation that we can come up with is they must be drunk because they're acting pretty ridiculous. Notice what happens. Then Peter, standing up with the 11, he raised his voice and said to them, what is he doing? He's getting ready to share a testimony. Listen to this. Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and heed my words, for these are not drunk as you suppose. He is sharing with them an experience, the evidence, the proof of what has happened to them. How many of you know this is a testimonial? He's testifying to something. He says, this is not, okay, let me back up here. For these are not drunk as you suppose, since it's only the third hour of the day. But this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. What is he doing? Speaking the testimony of Jesus. Jesus had declared, the spirit of prophecy had declared through the prophet Joel, the spirit of prophecy. Everybody say prophecy. Joel was a prophet. The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. You got to get that. The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Everything that the Old Testament prophets spoke of is the testimony of Jesus. Everything that they said, every prophecy that they gave was to direct us to the cross. Remember what Jesus, man, the anointing is strong here tonight. Remember what Jesus said to the Pharisees. He said, you search the scripture because you think that in them, in the scripture, you will find eternal life. But the scriptures point to me, to Jesus. Why? Because the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. When the prophets prophesied, when the prophets were prophesying, what were they doing? They were speaking of Jesus. They were declaring the Christ. They were telling us what he would be like, what he would do, what he would bring to pass. They were also telling us that we needed to repent, that we needed to turn. Why? Because he was testifying of days of refreshing that would come when people turn back to God. How many of you understand what I'm talking about tonight? And Peter stands and he says, this that you're seeing, I can testify of it because I've experienced it. And it's what the prophet spoke of long ago. Everybody say testimony. He gave his testimony to what had happened. And this is what that testimony consisted of. He said, we're not drunk. What you see is the Holy Spirit. What you see in us is from God. What's he doing? He's testifying. There's thousands of people trying to figure out what in God's name is going on. And Peter stands and says, this is what God always spoke of. What you see is that outpouring that God said would come, that the spirit of prophecy declared would occur. It's here. You've seen this thing happen. It's the Holy Spirit. What you are witnessing is exactly what God promised. It's not just for us. He goes on to say, this is not just for me. It's not just for the 11. That's part of the testimony of Jesus. What God has done in my life, it is not just for me. It's for you, your sons, your daughters, all who are far off, for all who call upon the name of the Lord. That's the testimony of Jesus. And that's what Peter begins to declare. He begins to testify of those things. He said, you can have this too. Read the account in Acts chapter 2, all the way up to verse 42. What you really see is Peter sharing his story. The Holy Spirit, of course, is inspiring him. That's the Holy Spirit's responsibility. But as he testified, there was power on his testimony. Then those who gladly received his word were baptized. And that day, about 3,000 souls were added to them. Why were the souls added? The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy, and the testimony of Jesus contains saving power.
Yes. Amen.
I'm telling you, what would have happened if Peter wouldn't have testified that day? Let me just tell you what would have happened. The church would never have grown. The church would have stayed at 120.
Yes.
I'm going to say that again. You know what? There were 120 people in the upper room when the Holy Spirit fell. That was the day the church was birthed. He birthed the church when the Spirit came. What would have happened if they wouldn't have testified? The church would have stayed at 120.
Yes.
And what would have happened when those 120 died? So would the church. How many of you know churches are closing all over America? How many of you know churches are dying every day in America? How many of you know congregations are getting smaller, not bigger? How many of you know most churches, in fact, less than 7% of churches in this country can show any type of growth at all? At all. Why? Because people are not sharing the testimony of Jesus. I'm going to say that again. You know, we can make all kind of excuses for why our church ain't growing. We don't have the right pastor. We don't have the right style of music. We don't have the right signage. We don't have the right marketing scheme. If people aren't out building the church will not grow, period.
Amen.
The testimony of God has given us mighty weapons to build His church with. And one of those weapons is the testimony of Jesus. Glory to God. Acts chapter 3, I want to show you another example. And then Peter, now after this Acts 2 experience, Peter then leaves. Peter and John, they begin to go out and they're really excited. God is doing great things in their life. Everybody say, God is doing things in their life. So they have an ongoing testimony. It's not just a testimony of what God did way back in youth camp. It's not just a testimony of what God did back in the 60s. It's not just a testimony of what God did back when the church played the organ. It's not just a testimony of what God did back when we sang from the hymnals. It's an ongoing testimony about what God continues to do in our life, because He's the living God. He's not a dead God. He's not the God of yesterday. He's the God of today and yesterday and forevermore. It's an ongoing testimony. And so Peter and John, they're out being used of God, and God is using them on a daily basis. Why? The testimony of Jesus. The testimony of Jesus at work in their lives. And they're walking up to the temple where they could be a witness. You know why going to church is so important? Because you have a testimony. Where did they go to share the testimony of Jesus? To the temple. I'm going to say that again. Oh, pastor, you don't need to go to church. You can love Jesus and not go to church. You are stupid. Stupid. And when you open your mouth and say things like that, you spew stupidity. You make yourself look ignorant and foolish. So don't say nothing if that's what you're going to say. God is coming for the church.
Amen.
God's Son died for the church. The church matters to Jesus. And it should matter to you. And you should be committed to a local church so that you can offer your service there, so that you can offer your giftings there, so that you can raise your family there. The church matters. And there was a day when the church was more important than anything. Softball was not more important than the church. Baseball was not more important than the church. Soccer was not more important than the church. Football, I'm preaching really good tonight. Extracurricular activities did not take the place of the church, because the church was the most important thing for a family. The church was the center of people's lives, not third on the list, not well we'll go if we're not too tired, not well we'll attend if we aren't at the lake. The church was what people planned their life around. But that has changed. And there's no wonder that America is in moral decay. You know, I know people, especially young people, don't like preachers preaching like this, Adam. And I'll tell you why you don't like it. Because God doesn't even make your top five. I'm going to say that to you again. He doesn't even make your top five. And you can say you love God all day long. But love for God is shown by honoring God. I'm going to say that again. It's not a difficult thing to understand. Now, this whole seeker-sensitive movement of the 21st century makes me want to puke, and it makes Jesus want to puke too. And in this seeker-sensitive movement nowadays, people tell you, oh, it's okay. It's not okay. God honors those who honor Him. If you don't believe me, you come see me. I will show you so many Bible verses that it will make your head spin. You have been deceived. You have been deceived by liars, prophets that prophesy not the word of God, as Jeremiah said. Well, there's prophets and there's preachers, but they're not preaching the word of God. God is a God that wants to be honored. He says, I am the Lord, and you shall have no other God before me. Nothing should be more important in any of our lives than God. Then Peter said, silver and gold I do not have. They're going to the temple. We should model our lives after them. Well, Pastor, I got it all together. I don't need to be at the temple. What about those in the temple who don't have it together? You know, the scripture says, do good to those, but especially to those of the household of faith. You know who you should be committed to more than other people in your life? People in your church. You know why? They're your family, friend.
Amen.
I'm going to say that to you again. We are so committed. I don't know why I'm going this direction. Somebody needs to hear it. I had not planned on talking about this, but I have enough sense to know to say what the Spirit of God is leading in. You know, we are so committed to people outside here, so committed to people in the world, so committed to worldly activity. And can I tell you that the Scripture teaches you should be committed first to God, second to your church. Oh, I don't believe that, Pastor. Well, go ahead and live a meaningless life then. And when you stand before God, He will judge you based on what I'm telling you right now. And you will have to give an answer to why you rejected this. This is the truth. It's the truth people don't like to hear. And I'll tell you why they don't like to hear it, because it means they're going to have to make changes. We need to make some changes in our life. Man, most people's lives go into hell in a handbasket. Life spiraling out of control. For crying out loud, make some changes then. You know, I want you to know something. Part of my testimony, part of my story is this. When I came home from prison, my wife and I, we knew that we had to make changes, or we were going to end up right back where we were before. We told everybody, not just friends. At that time, none of my family was saved. The only saved person in my family, the only person living for Jesus, was my grandmother and myself and my wife and my two boys. That was it. We told everybody in my family serving Jesus. I have two uncles now that aren't serving. I have a big family. Everybody in my family now is serving Jesus. Everybody. Give God the glory. That's the testimony of Jesus. Now, not all of them are as radical as me, but guess what? You don't have to wear my armor. You don't have to run around and scream and holler like I do. Okay? You don't have to do that. But when we came home and we started to get our life in order, we told everybody right up front, right out of the gate, we are committing to the church. So we aren't going to be able to come to all the family functions anymore, especially if there's going to be kegs there, if there's going to be drinking there. We don't want to be around that. I wasn't tempted to drink. Let's make that clear. I was delivered. But I was raising my children to live the kind of life that we thought God wanted us to live. And to take an 8-year-old and a 10-year-old and then later even younger children and bring them into a place where people are smoking and drinking and carousing and then try, and what do the kids see? Laughing, joking, having fun. So what do they associate that kind of living with? Laughing, joking, carousing and having fun. But let me tell you something about that way of living. It's not fun forever, because once it gets its claws in you, it dominates you and it controls you and it ruins you. Sin will take you further than you ever thought you'd go. It will keep you longer than you ever wanted to stay, and it will cost you more than you ever thought you'd pay. That's what sin does. And Paul said, I'm not going to be brought under the control of none of those things. So we made some commitments in our life. We came to church every time the door was opened. And I want you to know, sometimes when the doors were opened, it was boring. Not every service is jacked up and exciting. How many of you have noticed that about church? Some are. Some are those services, man, where God is moving. And man, it's exciting and energizing. I hope that's happening this evening. But not all are that way. Sometimes things that happen at the church are probably not your favorite things to do. But guess what? When you commit to something, you're building your life upon things. Raising, and that's what it takes. I'm gonna say, how many of you can testify to what I'm saying tonight? I know some of you saints that have been around for a long time. How many of you can say that it's a lifestyle change? You know why you made it? And why so many other people who started when you did didn't make it? Because you committed your life to the church. All your time. You got involved in Promised Land. I'm going to tell his testimony of Christ. You got involved in Promised Land Fest. You became absorbed with things of the kingdom. You didn't have time to screw up even if you wanted to screw up. You were going 90 mile an hour in 90 different directions so fast. You didn't have time to think about it. Because that's what happens when you commit. It's the law. Listen, it's called the law of displacement. You don't have to try to stay sober when you're occupied doing other things. You don't have to try to do right when you're so busy already doing right. It's the law. It's a law. Acts chapter 3. Then Peter said, silver and gold I do not have. They're going to the temple. They run across this crippled man. He's sitting there begging at the temple. And I think that it's interesting to note, and I've said this the last few times that I've preached on this text, why wasn't this crippled guy at church? How come this, you know, his friends would take, he's crippled. How do you think he got to where he was? Family had to pick him up and put him there. Nobody took this crippled guy to the temple where he could get healed. What a joke. Let's never be the church that drops crippled people and needy people off as Southern Iowa mental help to get the help they need. You understand? Let's not be the church, Brother Jim, that sends people on over to a recovery meeting for the help that they need. I appreciate what you do, because your goal is to get them in the kingdom, not just to get them a chip, a 30-day chip. It's to get them in the kingdom where they'll get a crown of eternal life. Hallelujah. Let's not be that church that pushes them on the outskirts. Let's be that church that brings them in the temple. So they're walking to the temple. They see this crippled guy. The crippled guy looks at them. He's begging. He's wanting money. But they said, we don't have no money. They said this. Then Peter said, silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have. What did he have? The testimony of Jesus. The one thing that Peter and John had to offer, and I'm going to prove it to you, was the testimony of Jesus. He said, I don't have no silver and gold, but I do have something in the name of Jesus Christ. What is he doing? Sharing the testimony of Jesus. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. and he took him by the hand and he lifted them. And there's something to be said about us Christians going to somebody and sharing the testimony of Christ and then taking them by the hand and helping them up. That's called compassion. That's called love. And then walking with them and making sure that they get it right for a while, you know, before we just share the gospel with them and throw them out to the wolves to get devoured. Do you understand? It's about building bonds and connections with people. They lifted him up by the hands and he began to walk immediately as they lifted him, as they took him by the hands. Something happened as this follower of Christ, as this God chaser reached out and grabbed the hand of this person that needed a miracle, and they shared the testimony of Jesus with them as they lifted him. And as they began to walk with him, immediately his feet and his ankles started to get strength again. Glory to God. So he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. Listen, when the people, let me catch up with you here. All the people saw him walking and praising God. Then they knew that it was he who was begging alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened. This is where Peter begins to share the testimony of Jesus. They said, "What's going on here?" The religious leaders, "What's going on here? What is all this commotion? How did this man who has been lame stand and walk?" And they said, "It was by faith in the name of Jesus, whom you crucified, whom you denied, whom you rejected, whom you killed, but whom God raised from the dead." Hallelujah. They began to declare the testimony of Jesus. The leaders didn't like the testimony that they shared. And you know what they told Peter and John? "Don't you share that testimony no more." You know why? Because Satan knows the power of the testimony of Jesus Christ. I'm going to say that again. Satan knows the power of the testimony of Jesus Christ. Satan was the one, Antichrist was the one operating in the Pharisees, rejecting Christ. What does Antichrist mean? To oppose Christ. They were opposing Christ. There was a spirit behind that. It wasn't just them in the hardness of heart. It was a spirit behind what was happening. Yeah, amen. The leaders didn't like that testimony. Acts chapter 4 goes on to tell the rest of the story. "However, many of those who heard the word believed, and the number of the men came to about 5,000. So in just a few short weeks, the church goes, by the power of the testimony of Jesus, which is the spirit of prophecy. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word. In just a few short weeks, the number grows from 120 to 3,120 to 5,000 approximately and 120. Exponential growth came as people began to share the testimony of Jesus. Mark chapter 10. "Now they came to Jericho. As they went out of Jericho with his disciples, a great multitude, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the road begging. And when he heard," everybody say he heard. "And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, 'Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me.' This blind man came every single day, and he sat by this road," because this was a road that was well traveled. It was a road that people were on a regular basis. It was a travel corridor. He was a beggar. His livelihood depended on people being generous to him. But while he sat listening, everybody say listening, while he sat on the road begging, and probably if you could put yourself in a beggar's shoe, he was probably listening to people who had a good report. How many of you know you don't ask angry people for money? Take it from a pastor who knows. When you got a bunch of mad people in the church, giving is, it goes down. When you got a bunch of happy, blessed people in the church, guess what happens? You can ask them for just about anything. And this beggar probably had a pastor's heart. You know what I'm saying? He knew, don't ask mad people for money, because you know what they'll do? They'll kick you. They'll spit on you. It's kind of, you know how it works. But anyway, he's sitting there and he's listening day after day, and he's trying to hone in on somebody that can help him, that can meet his needs. And while he's listening, he hears people walking by. Oh my gosh, did you hear what Jesus did? Jesus who? Jesus of Nazareth. Did you hear what he did in Capernaum? Did you hear what he's doing in Judea? Did you hear what happened when they caught that harlot, that whore, in the act of adultery? They wanted Jesus to stone her, but he showed her mercy. We've never seen anything like this before. He's opposing the Pharisees. He's challenging them in every way. And man, he's touching people that are blind in their eyes. This is what Bartimaeus is hearing. He's hearing the testimony of Christ. He's hearing things that religion had kept hidden. You know, religion testifies that certain people are damned, that certain people are doomed. You know, somebody goes through a divorce, and sometimes the church treats that person like they're scarred forever. Somebody have a little bit of a, and it is just a little bit of a moral failure to God. Yeah. I want you to know, I don't condone moral failure. Be faithful to your wife. Yeah. I think there's a twofold mission upon every person in this place tonight. Number one, be married to one person your whole life. Number two, go to one church your whole life. I think that's important, man. Faithfulness. So I'm not condoning extracurricular sexual affairs on your wife. That's not what I'm saying. But what I am saying is sometimes when that happens, a church will blackball a person forever. When God is a God of restoration.
Amen.
And religion has sent a message to people that some people can't make the cut. But Jesus said a sick man needs a doctor, not a healthy man.
Amen.
And so they're hearing this day after day after day. This beggar's hearing this. Now all of a sudden, he hears, here comes Jesus. Jesus is coming by. The testimony of Jesus is what gave this blind man, who probably was told the reason he was blind was because of some sin in his life or some sin in his parents' life. That was common of the Jewish people. They believed that these things were curses. Blindness was a curse. Leprosy was a curse that was put on a person to judge the sin in their life or in their parents' life. Stand up on your feet if you would, please. Let's just bow our heads and open up our hearts to the Lord. The testimony of Jesus. Listen to this verse as we close. Nate, can somebody put on some music as we begin to move into some altar time here? I want to read you this verse now, the last verse I'm going to share with you. John 15, 26 and 27. Jesus is speaking, and this is what he says. When the advocate comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who goes out from the Father, he, the Holy Spirit, will testify about me. And listen to these words. And you also must testify, for you have been with me from the beginning. Would you bow your heads and would you close your eyes? The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. You have a story. It's not your story, it's his story. It's his story. What God has done through his Son in your life. And I want you to know something. There is power on the testimony that you have. And with every person's head bowed, with every person's eyes closed in this place, if you are here tonight, and if you would say, Pastor Richard, you know, I know that I need to be sharing my story. I know that I need to be sharing the testimony of Jesus, but I have some struggle doing that. I get intimidated. I stumble over my words. I don't know where to start. I've never done it before. Whatever your excuse is, I want you to know that God is going to lift you tonight and he's going to give you courage. You might be here and you might say, Pastor Richard, I don't know that I have a testimony. Well, then maybe what you need is Jesus. He's the giver of testimonies. Maybe what you need is you need Jesus. And so if you're here tonight and if you'd say, Pastor, I need Jesus, man. I don't have much good to share about anything in my life because there's not a lot of good happening in my life. Well, listen, if you get Jesus, Jesus is good. He will produce good things in your life. He'll give you something to talk about. He'll give you something to shout about. He'll give you something to holler about. Jesus will put a song down in your heart, a song to be sung. It's a song of praise. It's a song of gratefulness and thanksgiving. And if you're here tonight and if you want God to put that song in your heart, if you want God to give you a testimony, then you got to invite Jesus into your life. You got to invite Jesus into your life. But now I want to give a call for those who would say, Pastor, I'm ready for God to loosen my tongue. I'm tired of fear keeping me from sharing the testimony of Jesus. I'm tired of my bashfulness and shyness and timidity keeping me from sharing the testimony of Jesus. I'm ready to come and I'm ready to get set free. Everybody say, let go of my tongue. Let go of my tongue. Now, if you're here tonight and you'd answer yes to any of those questions, I want you to just lift up your hand right now. Just hold up your hand, hold it up real high. And those of you with your hands raised and your heart's prepared before the Lord, I want you to pray this out loud with me. Say, Father God, thank you so much for giving me your son. I have the testimony of Jesus. Jesus, please forgive me for everything that I've ever done. I believe that you died for me, that you were raised from the dead so that my life could be raised. And I want you to come and raise me. Raise me in power. Raise me in strength. I make you my Lord. In your name I pray. Now give me great boldness. Touch me right now. Loosen my tongue. Give me the courage that's needed to give all the glory to you by testifying of all that you've done. I'll never take the credit for anything good in my life. Everything good comes from you. So all the glory goes to you. I believe that through the testimony of yourself, you will use me to save lives, to heal sick, to turn things around. And that's what I desire. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Father, we just pray right now your blessing upon these people. God, we thank you so much for your faithfulness and your goodness. And God, as we go, give us the opportunities. Give us the opportunities to share the testimony of Jesus. In your name we pray. Just a second. He has, I'll let you come on up here. Here, let's put you here so people can hear you.
People in here, you guys got trouble in your neck. It could be a disc. It could be. There's three people that got trouble in their neck. Could be headaches, disc in their neck, something to do with their neck. God wants to heal you. If you're just bold, you come down and we'll just pray for you, and God's going to heal that stuff.
Praise the Lord. Nate, go ahead and play some music. We are free to go if you would. There's going to be some prayer time up here. If you're not going to stick around for prayer, would you do me a favor and get next door as quickly as you can, or get downstairs as quickly as you can and grab your children. Appreciate you being here. I want to invite everybody back for Mother's Day on Sunday. It's going to be a great time. We look forward to seeing you then.
But God, who called